Hey y'all, sorry I was just sharing a live. So I'm about to bring up my guest in just a minute. I just want to thank everyone for coming back to Soul Sessions. This is season one, episode two. Tonight we have a special guest. He is an amazing, anointed man of God. His name is Manager Zoe, and I'm so grateful that our paths have crossed. He has such a great testimony, and I'm really excited for him to share it with you guys tonight. So before we get into that, though, I just wanted to share my word of the week. Each week I'm on here, I'm going to have a word. This week's word is gratitude or grateful. A lot of times, we get caught up in like the trials we go through, we get overwhelmed, and sometimes we get doubtful. But this week, during when I was praying, God reminded me that I've overcome and survived so many things sent to really take me out. And I just decided each day for the rest of March, I will write in my journal. I'm gonna write one thing a month that I'm grateful for. And I just encourage everyone else to maybe take 5 minutes out their day just to write something that they're grateful for, to remind them, you know, that even when we go through a lot, there are still things that we've overcome and we can get through anything with God. So gratitude really means just recognizing that we have not done everything for ourselves, but that we depend on others, especially and most importantly God, and we should always appreciate others for what they do for us. I'd like to open up tonight's episode in prayer real quick, and then I'm going to bring up Manager Zoe. So tonight, Lord, I just want to ask if you could use my platform and me as a way to reach anybody and share your words. I just want to be led by the Holy Spirit in all I do. I just pray that you help me to wait patiently. Lately, I have been feeling stuck in between making moves and waiting for you to do something, but I'm a little impatient, so I just ask that you can give me understanding that waiting doesn't always mean to just be still and do nothing. Your word does tell me faith without works is dead. So my prayer tonight is that I won't lead on my own understanding, Lord, even if I don't understand the process and all that you're doing behind the scenes. I just want to ask that you don't allow my frustration and emotions to override the plans you have for my life. Amen. And now I'm going to welcome Manager Zoe, and I'm getting ready to bring him up. I'm so happy all of you tuned in tonight for Soul Sessions, and I'm really excited for you to hear his story. Hi.
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you tonight?
I'm amazing, and I'm excited about this platform. I'm excited about this interview.
Thank you. I was so excited all week to have you up here. I like to prepare and plan, and I normally have a lot of questions. Like, I really study people, like their characters and stuff, and that's how I get my questions. But this week I was like, you know what? I just wanted you to share about yourself and your testimony. You touched it briefly with me, but I felt like I wanted this space tonight just to be for you to share. And if I have a question that pops up, I'll ask you. But I felt like tonight it should be about your testimony.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, that's amazing. Well, first I want to say, I just want to encourage you for a little bit. I mean, I'm really excited about what you're doing for the Lord. I'm so excited that you took this bold step to change your platform and try something different. I hear such an innocence in you, in your platform, and that's a recipe for God to do some great things. It just seems yielded. I'm not trying to be super spiritual or churchy, but it just seems yielded. It seems like something that you're saying, Lord, whatever you want with this, I'm giving you the opportunity to do it. So first, before we even get started, I just wanted to say that's a recipe for greatness, and don't lose that.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. So thank who you. Am I? I was gonna say, who am I?
They call who me, are you? They call me
So I wear a lot of hats as it relates to life, but mainly I'm just a son of God. I'm just someone that God highlighted a long time ago. I didn't understand what he was doing in my life. I had a lot of challenges, a lot of things I had to navigate through. From the outside looking in, I was someone that had a silver spoon in their mouth because I was born with my mom and my dad in my home. My father was a barber. My mother worked for the federal government. So we didn't have a financial issue in my house. But we had a lot of other things going on. My father was, he's recovering now. He was an addict for majority of my life, from the time I was born until I really understood what that was at age 15. And they asked him, we were in a meeting one time, and they asked him, they said, how long have you been struggling with addiction? He said 15 years. And I was 15 years old at the time. So I had that aspect. My mother was a strong woman. She did all that she could do, but she wasn't perfect. She had some things she had to filter through. And then they had me, you know, and I was always a different child. I wasn't like all the other boys. I didn't play basketball. I didn't play sports. I wasn't interested in the typical things that boys are interested in. So that, without saying, I was a child that dealt with homosexuality. But I didn't know it. I didn't know I was different. That's the thing that I've learned over time. Like, you don't know you're different until someone tells you that you are different and that you're doing things differently. You're just kind of being young, trying to understand who you are and filtering through life from the lens that you see it. So I guess I struggled with that until I was about 12 or 13 years old. And then I started to, I won't say I struggled with it. I was just being myself till I was about 12 or 13 years old. And then one thing that I learned is when people constantly tell you who you are, you start to believe it. So even though I had these feelings that weren't like normal, that were normal to me, that weren't normal, I didn't really know what it was until people started to identify me. So I deal with a lot of bullying. You dress like a girl, you talk like a girl, you want to hang with the girls. Why you want to play double dutch? Why you want to do this? Why you don't want to play football? Ooh, you can't catch. Like, all those different things I dealt with. So eventually I just kind of yielded to it. You know, I kind of opened myself up from the bullying tactic, and then not really feeling like, even in my home, like I felt like, and my father knows it, I never really felt accepted. And there were a lot of nuances to that. And I couldn't really like, I don't want to tell his part of it, but it was a lot of nuances to that. But one of the things is that I wasn't the typical boy. So I didn't want to do the things that he wanted me to do, like play football and all that kind of stuff. So I dealt with that in the home. And then when I got about a teenager, then I had a best friend. And my best friend introduced me to homosexuality in a very unique way. He started asking me different questions and things because he was dealing with it. And it, what the enemy was doing was using that as a opportunity to open me up to the possibility of this new life and making me feel more normal and accepted because we had things that were in common. And for a long time, if you know the people that would deal with certain things, whether it's alcoholism, addiction, biracial, being, you know, having a biracial child, different things, what the biggest thing that we look for is acceptance. We want to be accepted. We want to be a part of something. We want to feel like that we're important and we have value. And the enemy used that to lure me even more into the feelings and the things that I was dealing with. And long story short, by the time I got to high school, I was full on, I call it GAP, G-A-P. I was full-blown gay and loving it. I was gay and proud. I had found my tribe. I found the people that were like me. And that only lasted for a long, that only lasted for a little while, because what comes with that lifestyle that people don't talk about, you still deal with a certain level of rejection. You still deal with a certain level of manipulation, especially if you're considered young and attractive. A lot of people are drawn to you and they speak into, give life to your attraction, how attractive you are, what you can and can't, what you can do, the influence you have. And that led me down some dark places using, first of all, looking for love. And I'm just going, you can tell me if you got a question or you want me to stop. But I was looking for love in all the wrong places, because as I talked a lot about this acceptance, you want acceptance from your parents, you want acceptance from your peers, you want to feel like you're normal, you want to feel like you belong. And I had daddy issues too, you know, not having that close relationship with my father, not being accepted. So I dealt with men in an inappropriate way. You know, older men, I was drawn to them because it was a feeling of acceptance, and they was filling that void
of me not having my father like I needed him to be. And they use that to manipulate me and put me in situations and circumstances that were way too inappropriate, and some things a lot too fast, too soon. So I was in situations that I was exposed to that I shouldn't have been, just because I was attractive and young and naive. So, and that's the part that people don't tell you. You know, when you're young and you finally find your place of belonging, they don't tell you everything that goes with it. So I dealt with a lot of rejection, like looking for love, not getting it. People just want to have sex with you. They just want to touch you inappropriately. They want to flaunt you. They want to control you. All these different things that I had to deal with. So then, you know, then I got angry. You know, you're young and you're looking for love, you're not getting it, people taking advantage of you, and then you become the abuser, then you become the aggressor, then you start using your looks and your influence and manipulation and all these different things to start to get things from people or to manipulate people. So I did a little bit of that, but this is where things kind of turned for me. I graduated from high school and I had a best friend. I had a best friend that knew Jesus, that met Jesus in his teenage years, and he was also dealing with homosexuality, but he had that foundation, he had that background, he knew Christ. So in his own unique way, he would kind of minister to me about church and show me things about church, because I didn't really grow up in church. I didn't really have that strong foundation. I was the believer that went to church on special holidays, weddings, funerals, that kind of thing, and I didn't really have an understanding. Of course, I knew who Jesus was, because most I don't know if this is no. Most African American homes that I know, you may not have a church foundation, but they tell you to pray. They tell you about Jesus. They tell you about, you know, how to say grace. I had some things. So I met my friend, and my best friend started to teach me about the Lord and inviting me to Bible study and different things. And I was kind of feeling ashamed. I'm like, we're living this life. We're drinking, we're smoking, we're going to the clubs, we're partying, we're sleeping around, and you want to go to Bible study before we go to club. And I wasn't feeling it. But God used that he used him in a way to kind of open me up to things. So long story short, this is how I came to the Lord. This is what happened. I had been sleeping around, living recklessly. I had contracted STDs, all types of stuff. And I was at this point, and I haven't told this story to this magnitude, I don't think, on live. So you're getting an exclusive. So I think on a Friday night, I had went to the doctor to get an STD screening. Well, no, I went like a week before, because, you know, now you get rapid, I think. But like back in the day, like 20 years ago, it took some time. So I went to the doctor to get my STD screening. I would do it like twice a year just to be okay. And I got this news that I had STD, and it wasn't like incurable, it wasn't like the end of the world, but but it was just like I was tired, I was depleted. You know, you're looking for love, you're partying, you're drinking, you're smoking, and even though you're young, is wearing on you. You're not getting enough sleep. You're doing different drugs. I have had my deal with a different kind of other addictions and all this kind of stuff. So I was just tired. I was depleted. I was like, Lord, I can't do this. And I had no desire to go to a club that night. So I called my best friend. I said, listen, I'm not hanging out. I'm not doing nothing. I'm done. I'm tired of contracting STDs. I'm tired of sleeping with these random men. I'm tired of hanging out, going to the clubs. I'm just tired of all of it, because it was taken from me. Like now it was depleting me. So I wasn't interested in doing it. So my best friend, he went out to the club. He partied all weekend. And then Saturday night, I was in my bed sleeping. And he called me. He called me like 4 o'clock in the morning, and he was always in trouble, right? So I'm like, okay, what are you doing now? So he called me, and he was like, listen, I need you to come. I need to tell you what happened. I need you to come to church. Mind you, this is like 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, what am I coming to church for? He was like, listen, I want to tell you. He said, I overdosed on ecstasy, but I didn't go to church. He said, I overdosed on ecstasy and I went behind a bar in a club, and I heard the voice of God. And God says, this is the day you were supposed to die, but I'm saving your life. And then I threw up the ecstasy pills whole. Now, mind you, he had took the pills, they had digested in his system, and then in that moment, God caused him to throw him up. And then he was like, in that moment, I became sober. And he didn't go to the hospital. He called his pastors. I was like, what? He's like, so he's telling me this story. And I'm like, all right, fine. I'm going to come to church. And I was like, what time it start? He was like, 10 o'clock. I said, okay, all right, I'll be there. So, you know, whenever you're not into church, it's not your thing. You don't want to get there when it starts. You're trying to get there as late as you can so you can get it over with. So I got there at 10:30, just hoping that, like, the service was going on. And I kid you not, guys, as soon as I walked in the church building, I felt this release. I started to, like, tear up and cry and get real emotional. And I had on a gray hoodie just back in the day when we used to wear the hoodies, the zip-up hoodies. I had the hoodie on, so I put the hoodie over my face because I didn't want people to see that I was having this moment. And, you know, I don't know if y'all know about, I mean, I'm not racist, though, but you know about African-American church, won't start nothing on time. So when I got there, man, it was in high school. They putting cheers up and organizing.
And they never end either. Right. They go all day. I'm Southern Baptist, baby. Oh, we were raised in a church. We spent the night there sometimes.
So that's the whole ordeal. So I'm in church. They setting up church. They putting chairs out. I'm crying. I'm ashamed because I'm like, these people will think I'm crazy. But it was the presence of God. And up until that moment, the first time I went to Bible study with this particular church was a year before that. And I think I have been like two times since then. So it was like a year in advance and God was like leading me to him. Like I was feeling like I was having this Holy Ghost encounter with the Lord. And he was loving on me because it was so precious. It was so sweet. It's a feeling I could not describe. Like I'm getting emotional today. I felt like I had finally arrived. Like all this time.
That's okay.
Listen.
I be emotional when it comes to God too. I be crying. There's a big old crybaby.
What's up, Bob? I see you in the comments. Listen, I was like, finally, like up until this point, and we're doing the fast version, all the way up until this point, I was trying to find a place of belonging, of acceptance. And I walked into this building with all these strangers that I didn't know. And I finally felt like, whoa, this is it. I don't know what's going on in this building. I can't even describe it. I can't put language to it, but I know it was something completely different. So I finally got myself together, I sat down, the church service is going, and we're in worship and they're singing. And I remember like all the stuff I had been through, all the stuff that I had gathered. Now, mind you, I was a person that looked like on the inside, again, everything was all together. But they was playing a tape of all the horrible things that I did, the people I've been around, just all the things I did to myself, all the manipulation, all the lies, all these different things. What's up, Donya? All these things that I experienced. And I just like, then the room went dark. The room went dark and I couldn't see anybody but the one person standing beside me on my peripheral vision. And I started to hear the voice of the Lord, the very same word that he gave my friend. He said, this is the day I'm going to save your life. And when the altar call time comes, I want you to give your life to me and I'm going to change your life. And I heard it. It was like, that's why I love encounters with God, because it was so undeniable. Like nobody can ever take that moment from me. Like I heard his voice. I heard him just like I'm talking to you. I heard his voice. So then I had this whole, I think I went through some type of deliverance because it was loud, things were moving around, but I was so not, like I was so outside of myself. It was almost like I was watching all this from like the back of the room. My best friend's going through a deliverance. Many of you might not know what deliverance is, but he's going through his deliverance process. God is doing a work in me. Things calm down. And I was so excited about the freedom and the love that I felt that I couldn't contain myself. I was like, I can't wait for this pastor. This is my dad in the face. Shout out to Pastor David Miller, one of my dads. I couldn't wait for him to do the altar call, because as soon as he was like, if anybody want to, before he could join out, I ran down the road. I ran to the front of the church, and he embraced me in his arms. And that's the moment that changed my entire life. I mean, he took every desire for the drugs, for the alcohol. I didn't want to have sex. I didn't want to do nothing if it wasn't about Jesus. And my mom, she was like, She went to the church like a few weeks after that. She was like, I need to know what's going on. He said, because my son is 19 years old with his own car, own job, and he's been out of the house every single weekend since I got him that car. But ever since he came to this church, he's been in the house. He's been cleaning the room. I've been like, he's just been around. He's been doing this thing called fasting and taking the TV out of his room. And she had to know like what is going on. And that's how I met Jesus. Now there's more nuances to my story, but that's how I met the true and living God in my life. And I've been through things, and I've been through a lot of things even since then. But it's nothing compared to the love I felt that day. And now I'm a husband. I've been married for 12 years. Yeah, he absolutely will, darling. I've been married for 12 years. I'm a pastor. I just got ordained pastor last week. I run a management company called In His Image Management. You interviewed Bob last week. I have a catering business. I do Ernestine Soul Food. I work full time. I got a lot of tangible things, but it's still, even with all that, it still doesn't compare that. I know the true and living God, and my life is phenomenal. Like, God is just amazing. He loves me so perfectly, and he allows me to share his heart on platforms like this. That's why I'm so excited to be here and to help and pour into you and do whatever I can do to support your platform, because I know who he is and I know what he can do in your life, man. So I can keep going, but I want to pause right there just in case anything else, you got any questions or anything else may have come to you, or maybe somebody else got a question in the audience. I see my family. I see King Legend. I see my sister from London. I see my brother Joe. He just popped in the building. What's up, y'all? What's up?
I just appreciate you sharing that with me. Part of what I'm doing is, you know, I ran from God. I know I always had a purpose, but I told God I didn't want to be on God's time. I wanted to be on my time. So God had slowed me down, and I got in a bad car wreck, y'all. I almost died. We rolled 8 times, and I still don't have the feeling in my lower left leg in the front of it. So I be dragging it, though, because I ain't getting on them crutches. I'm going to shake back.
I know that's
but, yeah. But I said, God, you wanted me to slow down, because I was outside. Like, I was really outside in the clubs every night. But I say, you know what? I want to try something different. I'm going to listen to God. And I've really been listening to God. Like, something happened to me today where normally my old self, I would be ready to fight somebody. I would be ready to argue them down. But today I just prayed. I say, you know what, God? I'm going to pray for that person, because I don't got the energy to be arguing anymore. So I see myself little small steps, but I'm really excited for this platform, because I don't want to just do this for me. Like you say, you heard God talk to you before. I've heard God talk to me all my life. God also has given me dreams, mm-hmm. which I pray heavily on, because they always come true. So I know my anointing and my gifts, mm-hmm. and I know the favor God has on my life, but I'm trying to get myself in a space to be able to be prepared to use those gifts the way I'm supposed to, mm-hmm. and I feel like this platform is good for me, because Instagram reaches millions of people, and there's a lot of people who go through things that they don't have anyone to talk to, so they get on the internet, and I feel like it's just good to have someone to vent to, or to be like, oh, they went through that too. That's my
Amen.
Story. So, like, I was in an abusive relationship 2 years ago, and he picked a gun up and tried to shoot me in my head, but the gun jammed. I left that night. So I have a lot of different stories that I will be sharing on here as well. Mm-hmm. But I just love to hear the power of God through other people. And I'm so excited for this platform. It is streaming on all platforms. It will be on iHeartRadio, YouTube. Wow. Later tonight.
Wow.
I'm going to download. It's on YouTube, iHeartRadio, FM radio, Audio Mac, Spotify, on several platforms. And I have a lot of supporters. Like, you know, I don't just sit in the church. A lot of my friends, they're people that are in the streets. And I like to talk to them about God, and I know they love God because they talk to me about God. So I feel like my platform can reach people that normally other people would look down on. So that's what my platform's. I'm a non-judging person. I believe in forgiveness over and over again because God forgives me.
Amen. That's so good.
I just want to use my platform, you know, to help other people and to show God's love and grace to people because he always shows it to me.
Amen. That's good. You know, some of us are meant for the church and some of us are meant for the marketplace and some of us are meant for the harvest. And it sounds like that you have a heart for the harvest. And God, as long as you, like I always say, as long as you stay humble and you stay open to what he wants to do, you don't shift. What happens is a lot of when you get on platforms, people start to see it. They want to make it something else. But as long as you stay focused on the vision that God is giving you, he will open the door in so many ways. And like you said, you're on all these platforms. So I'm just hoping, praying that millions of people hear this and like instead of them have my story that talk that has been homosexual or been in a lesbian relationship or deal with addiction or deal with something. And all they really want to know is that somebody loves and accept them. And I'm not judging. Like, yeah, I'm not judging because I've been through some things and God have a lot of compassion for the places that people are. You know, a lot of stuff we take ownership of it, but it's not ours. It's the enemy.
Right.
You know, people say don't blame the devil, I blame the devil for it. Because if it wasn't the fall of man, I'd be in the garden with Jesus right now and chilling. You know what I'm saying? But because of the fall of man, we're dealing with all the things God never designed to deal with, to go through. But God gets glory in seeing us being triumphant and coming to know him and hearing him and listening to him when he calls. Some of us take a little bit longer than others. Like it took me, I got 19, but God was calling when I was like 5. I can think of moments like where I didn't understand what was going on in my life, but it was Holy Spirit. It was the Lord having his hand on me from a very young age. I used to get so emotional about the things in the church and people thought I was crazy, but it was the Spirit. It was the impression of God on me. I didn't understand how to articulate to people what was happening. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, I've been through so many tragedies. Like, I almost lost my life several times. I fell asleep behind the wheel when I was 18 and almost went off hit a guardrail and went off the road. One time I tell the story on my platform where I was driving home one night with a friend of mine and he lost control of the car and the car started spinning around and I saw the angels. I know this by now, but I saw the angels of the Most High God jump in the car and put that car into reverse. Now it's one thing for the car to go down to like driving one or two, but it's a whole different thing. How many gear shifts, you know, go up to reverse from drive? And I seen the car back into the woods and we hit a tree. But I walked out that accident. I walked out that accident with just a knot on my head. And the car was literally wrapped around the tree. Like the impact was so big that it moved me from the passenger seat to the lap of the driver. How do you walk out of an accident like that? Like,
let me share how similar mine is to yours. And it's crazy. But sometimes people have similar stories. So we were actually, I didn't drink this night, which was very surprising because I normally drink. But I also, the whole night, I was like, I don't even want to go, but I'm going to support my friends. But I just kept having a feeling like I don't want to be here. All night I kept having that feeling. So we left the club around 2 after everybody's performances were done. And my friend I rode with, she actually had left me. So I ended up riding with my 2 friends who are performers. Mm-hmm. And thank you, Midnight. And all of a sudden, we're talking, laughing, having a nice time. He drives a medical van. So there was the seat in the back, and then there was an open space for the wheelchairs, and then the driver's seat and the passenger seat. I was sitting in the back. And all of a sudden, I felt something hit right where I was sitting at. And the car just flipped. All the windows busted out. I was trying to, like, it was trying to pull me out the back of the vehicle. When I tell you, I hurt my own leg because I shoved my leg so hard into the ceiling, and all I kept praying was, God, do not let this be it. I'm all my children have because I'm their only parent. Mm-hmm. And the vehicle finally stopped. And I felt my face. I had no blood, no cuts. And when I tell you, the glass broke all around me. I had no blood, no cuts. Just my leg was hurting. I couldn't move my leg at all. So the van was so messed up. Gas was leaking all over us. My friend, I couldn't see him because he was thrown from the driver's seat to underneath the seat that I was sitting in.
Wow.
So and they weren't hurt either. They just had, like, you know, of course, bruises and stuff like that. But my other friend said he saw two men walking and they pulled the van doors open because the van doors were really messed up. Like, we wouldn't have been able to get out. And we kept telling him, nobody's here. Nobody was there. It was just us.
That's so crazy. I'm telling you, that is so crazy. And we think that we just walking around living life like nothing's happening. Like, we're the only thing. Angels are literally all over. Like, work. Some of us, my past, y'all work y'all angels overtime. I work my angels overtime. Y'all was working the angels overtime that day.
Yeah, so that wreck, though, it caused me to lose a lot. Like, I lost my house. I lost my job. Like, I lost a lot. So when I prayed and God was like, just go. Just go where you've always done great at. I moved back to South Carolina with no hesitation. And I've been doing really good. And it's so peaceful.
Amen. I'm glad to hear that. I actually did something. I want to share something with you. I teach a prophetic class, right?
I don't know if you okay.
Prophetic, but I took a prophetic class, and I actually took your picture to the picture, and I have it recorded. I'm gonna send it to you, because now that I'm talking to you, I think it's really gonna help you, give you some insight, and it's some of the things that these people have never met you in life speaking to, and I think I have a lot of. I'm gonna send it to you. So when we get off, text me your number, and I'm gonna send you the recording. I recorded it, but I wanted to talk to you first to just to make
right.
You're going. Enjoy it.
I know. I believe in prophecy. Whenever my ex-husband, he had got arrested for 5 counts of murder in 2016. Mm-hmm. And he's my youngest child's father. And I told him to stop hanging out with the people he was hanging out with, because a month prior, I had a dream that he was going to go to jail. Mm-hmm. And exactly what he was charged with, I told him. And the very next month, he kept hanging with them people. He went to jail for the exact thing I had dreamed about and told him about. So I tried to warn him, but he didn't listen to me. But I went to church. I hadn't been to church because I'd never been a single parent before. And when he went to prison, I became a single mom. So I went to church 3 months after all that happened. I hadn't been going because I was just really, like, stressed out and mad, and I just didn't want to go to church in that moment. But there was a gentleman, he's actually from where I'm from in New Orleans, and he came there to do their anniversary, their church anniversary. And he was like, well, one, he told me, he prophesied 3 things to me. He told me, you know, be careful who I have watching my children and around my children, that I have to make sure I protect my children always. Then he told me that I wouldn't be married to my husband anymore. I would marry again, but I wouldn't be married to the husband I had. Mm-hmm. And I told you, I hadn't been going to church there, so my pastor didn't even know I was coming that night. And he was like, and I see you do something with computers, and you're going to be very, very successful in life.
Wow.
And all 3 of those already came to pass.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's only the beginning. That's a lot of great things coming out of it. So I say have a lot of expectation. Expect God. We're walking in a completely different season, and God's are doing things supernaturally, swiftly, and swiftly and very quickly. I guess that's the same thing. But he's doing quick work in people's life, man. And I'm excited about what he's about to do. Yeah, a whole lot of potential. I don't even know you. You know, we literally just our first time talking, but just by the connection.
And I'm coming in May. We're booked and ready. Me and my 3 children. We're coming. We're there. We're coming to Baltimore.
May 19th through the 21st. Is that right? I don't know if I'm doing
17th through the We're gonna be there, so I'm so excited that I'll get to really meet you guys and, you know, experience that with you. I'm really looking forward to that. If you would like to share with everybody about that event.
No, most of some new people on here, but the people that watch the replay and people on the different radio platforms, we do a conference every single year. It's called No Flesh. It's in Baltimore, Maryland, and it's just a Holy Spirit good time. We don't really have a theme, or like, we just expect God to show up, and He shows up in a mighty way. My pastor will be there. Is Live SP, Aaron, Pastor Aaron Live. His artist name is Live SP. He'll be there. Daniel Adams, for you people that are familiar with the church world, Daniel Adams will be there. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Joanne Rosario. She is a Christian singer, also a pastor out of Atlanta. And then we Mission Commission the Pedal, my sister Shandy gonna be there. I think she was on here. Bella Veronica, she's one of the artists that I manage, but she's also our worship leader at our church. She's gonna be there. Bob is gonna be there. He's gonna be doing some rapping. We have unconventional church. Yes, you're gonna see some rappers, you're gonna see some worshipers, you're gonna see people dancing and singing. You might see some people get healed, set free, delivered, but you absolutely are gonna see transformation. So if we were gonna call it something, I would call it the Transformation Conference. Nobody comes to No Flesh and leave the same. They leave completely different. New gifts, new talents, insight, prophetic words, a new family network, because we do kingdom family. Everybody's family. Like, since you my family now, we family. We brother and sister now. Like, and that's just how we do it. You come in with an open heart. You want Jesus. We want Jesus. And we figure out how to get to them together. So it's all about. Shout out to my church, the Commission 2818. Again, Aaron Live. They're the senior pastor at our church. But yeah, come and check us out. Baltimore.
And I'm excited to come because actually my two older children, 15 and 16, they don't believe in God, even though I raised them to be in church. And I don't like shove God down their throat, because I just don't personally believe in doing that. Mm-hmm. I pray for my children. I believe that's between their spiritual journey with God. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if I push it, it's going to push them away more. Yep. So I think that I let God, but I told them what it was, and I was like, do you guys want to come with me? And I was like, yeah, Mom, we're going to come. So I'm really excited that they made that choice by themselves.
That's good. And just pray. Like, I always pray for people that I want to know the Lord. I pray for an undeniable encounter, because when people have an undeniable encounter, it doesn't matter what I say, what you say, they can't deny the experience. If Jesus hadn't talked to me, then I can say, well, I don't know if God's real. But how can I go to, I don't know if God's real, when I heard a voice in the room and I know one other man talking to me? And like,
right.
So just pray for an encounter. Tell Jesus, set them up. And they had their own encounter with it. They can't even say, Mom told me, Dad told me, the pastor told me, whoever. And they said, listen, this actually happened. This is real. And I can't unsee it. I can't take it back, because it's literally happened in my life. That's always
right.
People that I want to get closer to the Lord.
Well, this has been great. I'm so happy that you came and you got to share more of your testimony. And I just was so happy seeing you. I could see that, you know, the love God showed you, it shows through you. Amen. So I really want to thank you. You made tonight, so it really was so inspiring. And it's a much needed reminder of like how amazing God is. You know, you reminded me that God is always, you know, He's always working on our behalf, even when we don't see it. Mm-hmm. And no matter how far we like run away from Him, He always allows us, you know, forgiveness and grace. And even though they say God is a judging God, I really feel like God is also a God who doesn't judge, because He shows us so much grace. Yeah. So I believe He judges and He doesn't judge. I believe He really shows us so much grace.
He shows us His love, and He renders a righteous judgment, and it's different from man's judgment. You know what I'm saying? It's a righteous judgment. It's come from a place of holiness and love, so it's different. He will chasten you, and be stern with you when you're mature enough to receive it, and sometimes when you're not, because like you should be, but ultimately it ends love. Love is the goal. So you're right. God judges you perfectly. Perfect love. He treats you with perfect love.
Yes, and I just truly enjoyed you coming up here. I'm definitely going to stay in touch with you. If you don't mind, if you could close us out in prayer tonight, I would really appreciate that.
I would love to. I want to ask you, you said that you still have some issues with your leg, right?
Yeah, but I'm going to shake back. You know what I do every day? I really don't. I'm real big on not claiming that stuff is wrong with me.
Okay.
That's because I don't want to put it out there that stuff is wrong with me. But
I'm going to pray for what it's so. How about that? We're going to pray for what it's so.
Okay.
Let's pray. Father, we honor you. We bless you. We love you. We thank you, Lord God. I thank you for this moment. I thank you for this opportunity, Father God. We don't ever take any opportunity to share our testimony that leads to you, to be in a place of fellowship with our brothers and our sisters. I pray that everybody that come that watches this live or hear it on any other platform, Father God, I pray that they will hear the love of God, because the Bible says it's the love of God that leads man's heart to repentance. But really what it is, it's a love of God that leads man's heart to love and true acceptance, Lord God. I pray for my sister right now that you would continue to extend your grace, your mercy, your love on her right now in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Thank you that her body is complete. It's whole, God. There isn't any ailments, Father God, that she wants, Father God. Anything that would try to come against her, Father God, it's a thing of the past that she's walking. I pray that you would give her new feet, new legs, new arms, new limbs, new heart, Father God. You restore her right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. And I pray for more divine connections. And I pray that you would just, I pray that you would hide her, Lord God, even in the midst of her branching out, Father God, that she wouldn't be able to be mistreated, hurt, tainted, anything. Nothing negative will come her way, Father God. There is a place of pure joy that she can tap into. And I'm believing it for her, Father God. And I pray for her children, Lord God. I pray for her son and her daughter, Father God. I don't know if their sons, all of them. I pray, Father God, that you would set them up in a mighty way. Give them an undeniable encounter, Father God, that they would know that you are the true and living God, Father God, and they would be able to articulate these experiences. They would be able to articulate your love, Father God. I just pray, I thank you for this evangelistic anointing that's on my sister. I heard it earlier, Father God. I thank you that you're giving her unique ways to lead people to Christ, Father God. And I declare that all her fruit is permanent, that everyone that she leads to the Lord, Father God, will have a complete relationship in you, Father God, and they wouldn't turn back. And I even hear this for your children. I don't know where they are. I've never met them, but I feel like there's your house is evangelistic. You have an evangelistic call on your life, and that your children are going to do the very same things. They're going to lead people to the Lord in a very unique way, and the people that they impress, the people that they God put them before, are going to be solid. They're going to be like the wheat and the tares. These are the ones that have strong roots in the Lord. So I thank you that you're doing this for her, Father God. I thank you that she's been bold to uproot herself and go where you called her to go, Father God. And now you're able to extend her reach and her platform and give her many, many, many things. I pray, Father God, that finances will come. I thank you that she's never going to lack, Father God, that every time she look up, there's going to be more than enough. So we thank you and we bless you and we honor you for the perfect work you're doing in her life. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray and give thanks. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I felt that in my chest.
Come on. Help me. All right, listen, whatever you need, anything you need, feel free to reach out to me. I have other artists. If you have another time you want to interview any of the other ones, let me know, and I'll set it up. We're going to make sure that this platform is fruitful.
Thank you so much. I appreciate y'all so much. I really enjoyed you. I enjoyed DH Bob coming up here, and I am going to reach out to you because I did see, some more artist that I would love to have up here on my platform.
Okay.
And I really want to encourage everyone this week. Like, life really does be life in. So I just want to encourage everyone to be uplifted no matter what y'all are going through this week. And never hesitate. Like, if you want to reach out to me, I'm always available. My phone's always by me. So if you just even need someone to pray for you, to talk to vent to, you can reach out to me. I'm always respond back. And then I also want to thank you so much for coming up tonight. And I would like for y'all, normally I only am doing once a week, but I had a really very talented artist from California. I will be interviewing him tomorrow night at 9 p.m. I know it's a little later, but he's on California time. So I didn't want to do it too early for him. But I would love for everyone to come join back. And I appreciate you guys' support. So just keep tuning in. Okay. And let's see where God leads it this year.
Amen. All right.
All right.
God bless you.
You too, hon. Have a good night.
Thank you.